Welcome to the Celebration Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message and learn more about God, life, and you. If you're interested in knowing more about Celebration Church, you can visit our website at celebrationemmonton.com and follow us on Instagram at celebrationedm. Enjoy this message.
I want to give a shout out as we begin today to a book that I read called The Last Arrow by Erwin McManus, and it's a real inspiration for some of what I'm going to talk to you about today. And so if you're looking for a read in your life, that's a good recommendation for you. But today, I want to just continue on our series about an enemy called average. A number of years ago, we were doing a series on the subject of trust. And I had a creative team. We were talking about how could we best kind of illustrate this and bring some of that dynamic. And somebody said, I think you should jump out of an airplane. They didn't say it in anger. What they were meaning was you should do a tandem jump where you actually physically are strapped to an expert jumper and they kind of do all the work. You know, they know how to operate the equipment and you just trust them with the experience of skydiving and that whole process. So I did do that. And I would have to say that I would highly recommend, highly recommend that you never skydive ever. It was not my thing at all. I can remember when we jumped out of the plane and he's holding on the handles and he grabs one and gives it a yank and we both go whoosh, like this up almost like a 45 degree. And I'm like, buddy, I don't even do the Ferris wheel. Like, seriously, let's just float and enjoy the view, okay? You know, maybe you could get me a Starbucks while we're doing it. I don't know. But at any rate, the thing about skydiving is this, is it's a great illustration of the Christian life and of scriptural principle where it is about leaving one place, going to another. It's about leaving, you know, one existence and going into another, and the two are completely disconnected. I mean, once you leave the plane, it is no longer a place you're going back to. You don't get halfway down, 1,500 feet. You know, I'd like to get back on that plane right about now. No, that's over with, baby. You left that reality. You now live in a new reality, and you're not going back. The future that you stepped into is not connected to the past that you stepped out of. And that's how God works in our lives as well. Skydiving was a great illustration of that. But there's another illustration from Scripture that is about leaving a past and going into a future that I want to read from in 1 Kings 19. Elijah went straight out and found Elisha. Now, I have a problem with this. I don't know why. It just worked out. Why didn't they have like Bob and Jeffrey? You know what I'm saying? But here we got these two names that are so similar. Maybe it's God's grace to cause us to have to really pay attention to who's who in the zoo when we read this. So just follow me. Elijah went out and found Elisha, the son of Shaphath, in a field where there were 12 pairs of yoked oxen at work plowing. Elisha was in charge of the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him, threw his cloak over him. Elijah then deserted the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Please, let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, then I'll follow you." "Go ahead," Elijah said, "but mind you, don't forget what I've just done to you." So Elisha left. He took his oxen and he butchered them and he made a fire with the plow and tackle and boiled the meat, a true farewell meal for the family. Then he left and followed Elijah, becoming his right-hand man. You know, life is all about choices. And the choices that we make, whether we know it or not, are building our future. They totally are affecting our future. Elisha now makes a choice that says, this is God's plan. This is God's direction for my life. I'm going to choose it. And in choosing it, he decides, I'm not going back. I'm leaving my past in the past, and I'm going to be going into this brand new future following Elijah. And when he does so, he does it in such a way that basically he has to succeed in his future because there is no going back. But also there was nothing about his past that he brings with him into his future. It's just this clean-cut stepping out of one reality into another reality. And he creates this separation that is completely and totally distinct. Average people, though, will build their future without leaving their past. They will take something from their past. They will bring that into their future. Sometimes what they're bringing from their past is the fact that there's been a divorce in their life, or they grew up in a family like that, or an alcoholic parent and the impact of that, dysfunctional family, abuse, words that were spoken over them that they took to heart, tragedy, trauma, habits of the past, all kinds of things that people can bring from their past and carry on into their future. You know, Paul experienced some things that went on in his life that he had to deal with in his past as well. Betrayal, being beaten, being rejected. He had his haters, but here's what his formula was. Here's his process on how he handled the past to go into his future. Philippians 3:13, he says, "No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it yet, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead." In other words, Paul said this, listen, here's what I've learned. I've learned there has to be a separation between the past and the future, that I've got to be able to let this go in order to achieve what is ahead of me. Average people, though, will inhibit their future by not leaving their past. They inhibit it. You know, there's been a resurgence in society of vinyl. And, a lot of us are, now doing digital with music and we're all familiar with CDs, but now it's the big CDs, right? It's vinyl and people are buying turntables and it's kind of like this cool retro thing to get into vinyl. Those of us who grew up around vinyl are familiar with the vulnerability of it, where if you get a scratch on a record, you know, that now all of a sudden it just keeps repeating. You know, we've had that happen where there's like damage that has caused the record to repeat. And so now we're playing a song, and instead of it just going through the song, it takes a chunk of it and it just keeps going over and over. So you hear, "Hey Jude, hey Jude, hey Jude." And it never goes past that because of the damage that has happened to the record. And so we actually have an expression out of that. We say, "Like a broken record." And we use that expression to refer to people when they keep talking and saying the same thing over and over to us. And we say, "Man, you're like a broken record. You just keep bringing this thing up over and over. You just keep repeating this over and over." The damage, though, in people's lives can cause their life to become a broken record, where they just keep repeating and going back to the same issues of life, the same marriage troubles all over again, the same financial troubles all over again, the same troubles at work all over again, the same harmful habits all over again. You're like a broken record because of holding on to some things from the past that are affecting you today. You're having reoccurring problems in your life. So here's the question: what do we need to leave from our past in order to build our future? Number one in your notes: let go of your pain. Let go of your pain. Can you take a look at this video on the side screens?
I kind of just did whatever my parents wanted to do, and I kind of just believed what my parents believed because I was so young. From what I remember growing up in a Catholic church. That's how I learned about who God was. I memorized so many of the prayers and so many of the things that they would say that it would just come to me naturally, but I never genuinely understood what that meant to me inside. Being really close to my mom, I like just watching her and just like going to church with her and like looking at her, like she was someone that loved God so much, and you could tell by the way she was singing the songs in church and like how she was praying, like you could tell that every single word meant something to her. In grade 12, I was actually just about to graduate, and my mom, she suddenly got really sick. Like, I remember, like, you know, nothing can go wrong, so everything's gonna be fine, like, it's all good. Like, my mom loves God so much, like, why would he do this to her? So we found out actually on her birthday that she was diagnosed with stage 4 stomach cancer, and we were told that if they tried to operate on her, it would make her cancer worse. So we weren't able to do anything. It was just a waiting game at that point. And then 2 weeks after, that's when my mom passed away. I think it was like a 4-year dark journey for me. Just 4 years of me trying to do something else to help mask that pain. So it would be drinking, it would be, I would self-harm. I stopped going to church. I stopped going to my youth group. I stopped praying. I fully believe that he hurt my family so much. So why would I want to trust in someone like that ever again? In grade 6, I did a talent show and I did dancing, I don't know why. And then the year after, mom was like, well, I'm gonna put you in hip hop because you seem to like dance so much. I'm like, oh, sure. And eventually I grew in love with it. When my mom passed away, I actually danced more. So along with all the really bad things that were happening in my life, I did turn to dance at one point. Because it was a way for me to express how I was feeling without having to talk to anyone. I would just have to dance and that was it. 2014, a friend of mine who was a very strong Christian, she started a dance group at my studio called Word Up. She asked me if I wanted to come join, and at first I was like, oh, I don't know, like, if it's faith-based, I don't think I'm down. And then she's like, no, like, you know, if you're not Christian, if you don't believe God, it's totally fine, like, we're just gonna dance. I'm like, okay, fine. I did that for, I think, 2 years of Word Up. And then during those 2 years, my friend would ask me if I wanted to go to church with her. I don't remember what year I went, but I went to Celebration on an Easter. I remember, you know, thinking this is insane. Like, as in like, wow, like this is what church is. Like, there's people dancing and singing on stage to such awesome music, and there's like so many lights and just looks like a concert. Like, this is so cool. But I remember leaving the church feeling so inspired. And I think for me personally, that was the beginning of my walk again with God. I remember specifically when the series of storms was talked about, Pastor Dennis, he talked, it was part 4, and he said something like, don't let go of what you know over what you don't understand. And I remember when he said those lines, like everything over the past, how many years it's been since my mom passed away, like came rushing back, and I was like, oh my gosh, like this is what I've been needing to hear. What I went through was not because of him. God was always the one waiting for me at the end, and always waiting for me and always going through this with me the whole time, and I didn't allow myself to see that. My friend and her sister, they asked me and my other friend if we wanted to perform for Christmas and for Easter. I did the Christmas service, I did the Easter service, and dancing on stage at a church that I grew to love was an unreal experience. Like, it just makes so much sense to use my body and worship him that way and to dance because he's allowing me to do so. All the, I guess, things that I've done, they matter, but they don't matter because they don't define who I am. And what defines me is God and like how and my relationship with him and how I carry forward from this now. And that's what's gonna matter, is what you do now instead of what you did in the past.
Going through life, we experience pain, and then we can end up just bearing the fruit of that pain along our journey. A lot of times people look at people and they go, why are they doing this? Why are they doing that? They're seeing some of the action, some of the fruit going on in their life, and not keeping in mind that that fruit is actually attached to a tree that has its roots in pain, something that's gone on that's causing that to happen in their life that needs to be addressed. And so where there are, you know, relationships and issues of potential pain in their life, it's affecting them. But here's what happens. Our hurt becomes our hang-up. Our hurt becomes our hang-up. We go through something, if it's not dealt with it within our life, then it becomes something else. And so, for instance, somebody goes through pain and now they've got trust issues. They feel like, I've been let down by people. I've been betrayed by people. I can't trust people. I have trust issues. Or I felt like it did not treat me the way that I should have been treated. They took advantage of me. Now I have authority issues, and I'm suspicious of authority. I feel like they're leveraging me for something else in their life. They're just using me. Or I have insecurities, or I have sensitivities, these areas where I've experienced pain and it's not healed. Now it's my sensitivity. So for instance, if I had a cut in my hand and it's an open wound and it's not healed, I can go across this whole front row, shake everybody's hand. By the time I get to the end of it, I go, man, that's the meanest group of people I've ever met. Those people hurt. Well, they're not the issue. I am. And if I would get that healed, I could have the same experience walking by, shaking everybody's hand, and not even notice it and be bothered. Why? Because it wasn't their problem. It was mine. I never got healed. I carry sensitivities. And every once in a while, life touches my sensitivities. And so we produce these things in our life. If we don't get them, you know, healed up, what happens is this. We do everything we can to avoid re-experiencing the pain through going into pain protection mode. So what does that look like? A lot of times it looks like vows. Things that are spoken or thought, things done knowingly or unknowingly, just things we have taken into our heart where we have statements that we're living by that go something like this. I'll never trust another man again. I'll never trust another boss again. I'm not joining another organization. I'm not sharing my secrets with anyone. I'll never open up my heart to anybody again. I'll never go into another business in a partnership again. I'll never get married again. And our vows are now limiting our future. We become prejudiced because of our pain, and it's about protection. The other way that we respond to it is through denial. Instead of getting healed of our pain, we're just going to sort of try to overlook it, press minimize, you know, like we do on our computer. Let's just minimize that through denial. And so it's like, yeah, I grew up in a home where we were pretty disconnected, never really felt loved, but it's okay. I'm over that now. Yeah, in the past, you know, I've had some people that were rough with me and they abused me and things they said and did, but I'm past that now. I'm older. I'm past that now. Yeah, our family was broken, but it's no big deal. It's no big deal. Yeah, I've made some poor choices in the past, but you know, I'm through all of that now. That's not really affecting me. And we go into denial. Denial is all about suppression. And it's about burying our feelings, burying our memories, burying our anger, and sometimes even burying the truth. And the problem is that we are suffering and then stuffing these things in a container called our heart that was never meant to hold on to those things. That's why people all of a sudden have blow-ups and outbursts and rage and act out and things like this. It's because it's not been dealt with. We're trying to stuff it, but it just keeps manifesting over and over. Listen, God never intended you to suppress what he wants you to release. Denial is what creates self-imposed blind spots where we're just going through life and we're choosing not to see the impact of things that are unaddressed and unhealed in our world, things that are not corrected in our world. Blind spots are interesting things. I had a discussion with my staff earlier this week. In our staff meeting, we were just talking about, you know, working through things and working with people and whatever. So I decided, you know what, I should just have a moment of like honesty and vulnerability and just let them know that, you know, about something that I have to deal with, like a blind spot in my life. And I shared this completely with the sense that this is going to be like news to them, okay? So I'm with myself, and I said, you know, you guys, something I've just come to realize about myself is that I can be so task-focused that I'm not even aware of people around me. You know what they did? They all laughed, the whole bunch of them. So those former employees were laughing because I thought I was bringing them up to speed with something they didn't know. And they're like, you gotta be kidding. Like, we're unaware? You gotta be, and it was my blind spot. But here's the deal. Your friends and your spouse know your blind spots. Just like my staff know all of mine, and I'll never share another vulnerable moment ever again in my life because of the pain of the last time. Okay, moving right along. Here's what John 7:24 says. Look beneath the surface so you can judge correctly. In other words, don't bury it. Don't go into denial mode. Don't make a vow. Instead, look beneath the surface so you can judge correctly. What does God's word say about what he wants to do with pain in our lives? Isaiah 57:18, he says this, I have seen what they do, but I will heal them anyway. I'll lead them. I will comfort those who mourn, bringing words of praise to their lips. May they have abundant peace, both near and far, says the Lord, who heals them. God's answer is healing, not denial. God's answer is healing, not pain relief. You know, sometimes we just go for temporary relief, pain relief. I just want to deal with the pain. God's like, I want to deal with the problem. Because if I can deal with the problem, the pain will go away. I want to bring healing to the problem. I don't want just a temporary relief, but we go to temporary relief. And so we'll do things like explode with anger on people and then feel like, there, I got it off my chest. Yeah, but you threw knives at everybody in the process. Or we go to overeating, comfort food. We're not hungry. We're just eating this food to feel good. The whole box of Oreos, you know, whatever it is, right? Sadly, people will go to things like pornography as their comfort activity in their pain, or using drugs, or even alcohol. You know, I think even people that are like, well, you know, I'm just a social drinker. It's all good. Well, you know what? Here's what the scripture says. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what God's word says. The next time you're tempted to take a drink as a response to your pain, ask yourself, have I even prayed about this? Have I looked up for help? Have I turned it over to the Lord? Am I replacing the work of the Holy Spirit in my life with other spirits? Wow. I'll say it because you didn't. Okay. Because we can do that, can't we? It's like we can go for that tangible, temporary solution when God says, you know, if you just open your heart up a little more to me, there's another spirit called the Holy Spirit that wants to not only unburden you and deal with the pain, but actually get to the root of the problem and bring healing in your life and do something far more than just a temporary numbness. Jesus would meet people in their place of pain, and he would go there right away sometimes with people. And I think I've watched God do that, the same thing in people's lives. They begin to open their heart up to God, and then boom, he's dealing with them at their place of pain. He meets the woman at the well. What does he do? He starts talking to her about the fact she's had five husbands, and the guy she's living with in common law right now is not her husband. He wasn't going shame, shame, shame. What he was saying was, listen, you have a broken life, and I'm aware of it. And I'm bringing it up for the purpose of healing. You know, Zacchaeus was short, so he climbs up a tree and all the rest in that story where Jesus is walking with the crowd. He wants to be able to see him. But there's another side of it. He's the tax collector. He's hated. He's isolated. Nobody is his friend. Nobody wants to have anything to do with him. He's a liar. He's a cheat. He's a thief. All the rest of it. Jesus is in a crowd with all these people and picks the most rejected person in the crowd and says, I'm going to eat lunch at your house. What was he doing? He was basically ministering to him at his point of pain and saying, everybody's rejecting you. I'm not rejecting you. I'm coming to your house. That's what my granddaughter says to me all the time. I come to your house. Now, how do we activate healing in our lives? Well, first of all, through confession and prayer. James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to one another, your false steps, your offenses, and pray for one another that you may be healed and restored. You know what? You've got to have somebody in your world that fits that verse. Somebody in your world where it's like, I can talk to this person about what's going on in my life and let them know and invite them to pray. And if you don't have somebody like that in your world, that's all the more reason why you need to stick around, check out those connect groups, position yourself to build relationships so that a passage like that can work in your life. Oh, I'll just confess it to the Lord. When you confess it to the Lord, you're forgiven. When you confess it to somebody else, you're healed. That's how God works. That's how that verse works in our life. Revealing your feeling is the beginning of healing. Forgiveness is the other part of it. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. In other words, his forgiveness of us is the standard for how we forgive others. And he does it without barriers. He does it without strings attached. He does it freely for us. And God says, listen, if you'll forgive people, if you'll give up the right to get even, if you'll let it go, then I'll heal you. I'll work in your world. What we don't forgive, we are bound to relive. What we don't forgive, we are bound to relive. Say, how do we relive it? We relive it in the context of our memories. We hold on to bitterness. We hold on to resentment. We hold on to that situation. And then from time to time, we remember. That is, we re-experience the memory and all of the emotion that goes with that. And so it's like we had this situation or maybe this person, kind of got them in a little cage in our heart. Every once in a while, we open the door, pull them out, beat them up, put them back in. But the truth of the matter is, we're just reliving the memory. You see, resentment and bitterness do not, you know, get back. They do not get even. They do not avenge you. Instead, what they do is they exploit your pain by causing it to be revisited and infect your future. Number two, let go of your disappointments. Let go of your disappointment. Quite a number of years ago, Leslie and I went to Toronto with another pastor. This is like the very, very early stages of ministry to help him plant a church. We were so excited. It was like, man, Toronto, this is awesome. The church was a complete and total failure. Didn't work out whatsoever. Back in 2007, someone who was a long-time friend of mine by the name of Darwin Duer was on staff at this church, and at the end of summer of 2007 started to have headaches, which was then discovered to be a brain tumor, and by November, we were doing a funeral. Disappointments. You have disappointments. A dream that didn't happen, a plan that failed, a step of faith that became a step of failure, an engagement that was canceled, a prayer that didn't get answered like you expected it to, expectations that failed, doors that didn't open, people that didn't come through for you. We all have our disappointments, and if we hold on to our disappointments, they go to the next level and become disillusionments in our life. I thought that if I prayed, I thought if I just worked hard enough. I thought that I couldn't fail. I thought people were better than that. I thought God promised. I thought I read that promise. I just thought my dreams were all going to come true. And when they don't and we're disillusioned, then we go to a place where our faith has fallen. Jesus deals with this with Peter because he's about to go to the cross and he realizes the kind of personality and person that Peter is, that this is going to be very difficult for him. And he explains that in Luke 22:31, where he says, Simon, Simon, his old name for Peter, Satan has asked to test all of you as a farmer sifts his wheat. I have prayed that you will not lose your faith. Help your brothers and be strong when you come back to me. See, Jesus knew that Peter was like amped up. It's like, man, I'm with Jesus. The sick are getting healed. The dead are rising. We're having all-you-can-eat barbecues. We're having boat rides where you ride out and you walk back. It's just amazing. All the stuff going on. I mean, this can only get better. There's going to be this amazing future with Jesus. And now all of a sudden, Jesus is on a cross and not coming down and nobody's stopping it. And he dies. And what Peter didn't have a clear sight of is that this is all part of the greatness of Jesus, that he now has just become the Savior of the world. And 3 days later, rises from the grave. And in the midst of that disappointment, Jesus is saying, I'm praying that your faith does not fail, does not fail. Our lives have disappointments. But here's the question. Have your disappointments lowered your expectations? Have your disappointments lowered your expectations? Maybe you're that person who used to have big dreams, but now you're more realistic. See, we use nice words for these things. You used to have big ambitions, but now you're conservative. You used to expect the best of others, but now you've become more cautious because that seems to be wise to you. You used to have a future, that you would think would be greater than your present and certainly than your past. But now you look at the future with different eyes, and it's like, I just hope the future doesn't get worse than it is right now. If it would just maintain, I'd be happy about that. I just want to avoid disappointment. And so you can be bringing the disappointments of your past into your future. But God wants you to recover. You say, how do I do that? Well, first do what Paul said, forgetting what lies behind and what? Pressing on to what's before me. In other words, it's a choice. He decides, I'm going to forget it. I'm going to let go of this thing. I'm going to keep the past in the past, and I'm making a choice. And here's what the answer is. The answer to your disappointments is the choice of faith. It's the choice to say, I've been disappointed here, but I'm choosing to put faith in God's word for a different future. Yeah. This didn't work out, but I know there's promises that say it can be different. I'm not going to let what I've been through be the final statement on my life, but I'm going to use faith in God's promises for a different future. And so, for instance, Leslie and I didn't allow the disappointment of our past to determine our future. But when God began to prompt our hearts about starting another church, it was like, okay, God, we're going to take a step of faith. We're believing your promises. We believe this is your will. And we're going to trust you that this time it's going to work out. And here we are today. The disappointment of our past didn't determine the direction of our future. The same thing when it comes to healing and miracles. We could have had a response, you know, years ago and went, that's it. I'm not preaching on this. I'm going to skip those passages of the Bible, which is pretty much most of the New Testament when it comes to healing and miracles. That's just the way it is. But instead, I actually went in the opposite direction and pressed into God's word and got more of the promises in my heart. And we have seen since 07 so many miracles that have happened in this church. Why? Because we chose faith over disappointment. Clap, 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 clap. That's for you, not for me. We've got to connect with this in our own lives and do the very same thing. Don't let your disappointment determine your future. Last one, number three, let go of your options. Let go of your options. Every time we take a step forward, we leave options to do it. When I stepped out of the airplane, I left some options. Some really good options, actually. Perfectly, mechanically sound airplane would be a better way to go down than the option I chose. Nevertheless, we leave options. When you get married, you leave options. I hope you agree. And when you're single, you got options. When you're married, you let go of your options. In fact, one of the options you let go of is the option to act like you're single once you're married. Dear Jesus, I hope this isn't news to these people. When you have children, you let go of options. If you're single, this will be news to you. But you let go of options concerning money, noise, mess, time, attention, freedom, and the more children you have, the more you lose those options until it finally feels like imprisonment. No, it's not that bad, but it's just the way it is. You're building your future, but to build your future, you gotta let go of the options. Quitting is an option that's important to let go of. Because if you don't let go of the option to quit, all the devil has to do is just make it hard enough, cost enough, emotionally challenging enough, frustrating enough, too expensive, too draining, too painful, and you've decided, now I'm going to exercise my quitting option. And you will never get a breakthrough as long as quitting is your option. You can't find freedom from addictions if quitting the program is an option. Average people try to keep one foot in the past while stepping into their future. You know, if it doesn't go as it's planned, I can always go back. If I don't like this, I can try something else. If I'm not getting my way, I've got another option. I'll follow Jesus, but. And if you come to that place of letting go of your options, then you can finally step into your future. Why? Because your future cannot be an extension of your past. Your future replaces your past. Your future replaces your past. When you receive Jesus, you eliminate the options. And this is so important because sometimes people view Christianity like, I'm adding Jesus to my life. You know, I've said yes to Jesus, so I added him to my life. So I've added eternal life. I've added forgiveness. I've added his blessings. I've added, you know, peace and joy into my life. I've added forgiveness into my life. That's great. But here's the deal. It's not an addition. It's an exchange. You don't add Jesus to your life. You trade your life in order to get his. You see, he accepts us as is, but expects us to surrender all of what is in order to walk with him. That's how it works. That's how the relationship gets started, is we come to a point where we do this one thing called surrender. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us what happens. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. I've left my old reality and I've started in a new reality in relationship with Christ. I didn't add Jesus to the old thing. I'm trying to keep some of my old life, my old ways. I'm just trying to keep him happy along the journey. No. This got traded in. This got started when it got traded in. A brand new life. Elisha didn't have a plow to go back to. He didn't have an option. He burned his options. He burned his past. He left it all in order to follow God's purpose for our life. It's a picture of what happens in salvation. We leave it all and we start brand new. And when he did, Elijah says this to him. He walks over, he throws his coat on him, and then he makes this comment. He says, consider what I did for you. Obviously, it was more than just about this physical coat. There was something, there was like a message in that. There was something else being said by the act that he made as a prophet. Consider what I did for you. You know what? Jesus has done the same for us. Jesus has covered us. He's covered our sin. He's covered our shame. He's completely and freely forgiven us. He has clothed us in righteousness and made us acceptable to God. The Bible says he's put on you a garment of praise and taken off a spirit of heaviness. And now we need to consider what Jesus has done for us. And when we consider what Jesus has done for us, can you forgive and release the pain of your past? When you consider what Jesus has done for you, can you choose faith over your disappointments? When you consider what Jesus has done for you, can you let go of your options, especially the one to quit? Listen, when Jesus went to the cross, he let go of all of his options, in order to become our Savior. Considering what Jesus did for you, can you burn your past and start anew? I want us to stand. We're going to take time to pray through these three things. And in whatever way the Holy Spirit might have touched you, as we talked about these things, as we pray, I'm going to kind of journey with you in prayer and pause and give you opportunity right where you're standing to talk to God about some of these things. Whatever it may have brought up in your life, now is the time to talk to the Lord. Now is the time to address this. So let's bow our heads, if we would, for that word of prayer. Father, we thank you that you have a tremendous future for us, but Lord, it's not one where we're meant to bring our past into it. It's not one where we're meant to allow our past to sabotage or pollute it in any way. And so, Father, we're making the choice to leave our past. Father, I pray right now for people that need to leave their pain. that, Lord, there's a situation that they need to forgive. There's a person that they need to forgive. And you may not feel like it, and you may not want to, but you know that you need to so that it doesn't continue to corrupt your future. And so right where you're standing, just to tell the Lord, Lord, I'm choosing, this isn't about feeling, but I'm choosing to forgive this person. I'm choosing to forgive this situation. I'm choosing to let go of my pain. When we forgive, we open our heart up for the Holy Spirit to bring healing. Just to tell God right where you're standing, I choose to forgive. Lord, there's people here that have walked through disappointment in their life. And today we want to leave it. We want to take a step of faith that looks to the promises of the Word of God toward, for our future, not looking back to our disappointments. Whatever that was, whatever that disappointing thing was, just between you and God right now, just say, Lord, I'm leaving my disappointment. I'm going to go with faith. I'm going to put my faith in the promises of your word. I'm not going to keep my faith attached to my disappointment any longer. I'm letting go of my disappointment in Jesus' name. And now think about options. Maybe there's areas in your life where you've held on to options that God would say, you need to let those options go. And we're going to pray for that right now and look to the Lord. And for some of you, maybe letting go of options has a whole lot to do with Jesus being number one in your life. And I want to pray with you as well. And I want to pray with you because this for you, this is about salvation. For you, this is about Jesus being the Lord of your life. For you, this is about, am I going to have a future built by God or am I going to stray from this? And today God's saying, you need to let go of your options if you're going to have my best. And with our heads bowed, how many here would say, Pastor, you know what? Pray with me today because to me, this is about salvation. This is about the Lordship of Jesus. This is about letting go of those options to follow him. Just give me a wave if you would. Man, this is about salvation. This is about following Jesus. No other options. No other options. No other options. Awesome. You guys can put your hands down. There's hands all over this place. Let's pray together with those who are praying. Lord Jesus, today I've decided there are no other options. I am following you. And you alone. I profess you as my Savior and the Lord of my life. You are my only option. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. If you enjoyed it, check out more messages like this at celebrationedmonton.com or on the Celebration Church mobile app. If you would like to partner with us financially, you can give on our website at celebrationedmonton.com. Come back next week to hear another great message.